about me. Well, married to beautiful Eloisa, been married 11 years. thought I'd be a bachelor all my life. Got married at 45. Two wonderful children, Matthew and Melissa. So it's just fantastic how God works things out. We never know what's around the corner. We never know what God's got in store for us. Started out life as a chartered accountant. That's a good thing or a bad thing?
It's hope for us all.
After I qualified, only stayed there for 18 months, joined up with YWAM. And basically from there on, and even with that, just amazing how God just opened the doors. And I just fell into everything that God had for me. And so I think I generally tell people I've never had a proper interview in my life. Actually, even when I went to the chartered accountants, I didn't. God just opened up the doors and the senior partner said, I suppose you want me to train you, don't you? So I said, well, no, but, you know, that's just how it's been. God has just opened up doors in front of me. So it was in YWAM for 20 years. As Darren mentioned, headed up the leadership team of Batford Community Church. And then from then, I've been involved with giving debt advice. So that's a little summary. Anything more specific or whatever? I didn't know what you really wanted.
Well, let's just pray for you before you launch off. So Father, I just pray this morning that as Richard speaks, that we'd be inspired by what he's going to share of how you're at work in Harfenden and how your kingdom is at work and expanding. So we just pray, would you bless Richard this day, and would you bless the words he speaks, that they would really speak to our hearts. In your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'll get your PowerPoint up in a minute.
Okay.
Clickers there.
Right. Great. So Louise asked if I would come and give an update on Harpenden Money Advice, which has been very much central part of my life for the last 8 years, 9 years. Oh, there we go. That's working. Excellent. It was over 9 years ago that... Is it clicking? Is that not on yet?
Should be on.
That is on, yeah.
Is it not?
Should be that one, isn't it?
I'll press it on.
I could always hold up little pieces of paper. It's the modern equivalent, eh? Beautiful sunset. Okay, right. So whilst I was leading Batford Community Church, I really had a sense of God saying, don't expect people to come to the church. What can you do as a church to go out to people and meet people's current needs and their very real needs? Because I think as a church, we can very easily think, well, we're just going to put on a good show and let's hope everyone comes to us. Doesn't really work too well. Well, never found that. But God was saying, go out there, make an impact in the community. And because of my financial background, and I'd heard other churches running debt advice centres, I thought, yes, that's the thing to do. Now, I had no experience of doing that previously. But just felt this was the first of the projects from Batford Community Church that we were going to do. Hoping there will be a lot more that followed. We got involved with a few extra things, sort of litter picking and giving out apple crumbles, which was, let me just tell a story about an apple crumble that we gave out. One time we went out, we'd been doing it for a number of years, and September time was the time, so we went to this block of flats, and whoever it was, I can't remember who it was, knocked on the door and said, here's an apple crumble for you, and custard. We had, sort of a ready-made custard from the shop. And we said, amazing, the lady said something like, you won't believe this, I've just been down to the co-op to try and get an apple crumble and they've sold out. Really wanting an apple crumble for lunch. And you think, see, God knows. God wants to make an impact in people's lives through apple crumble and custard. You know, so, you know, that's my passion, to get out there. And this is where, later on, after I've given a little update on this, and we get to that, it's about bringing in the kingdom of God. You know, whatever you're doing, bringing in the kingdom of God. Let people experience the love and kindness of God. I'm getting more and more convinced that people aren't Christians, not because they disagree with God, you know, don't like him, whatever. They've never experienced his love and his kindness. If people experience the love and kindness of God, I believe their arguments, the barriers come down. Because when they have an experience of the Holy Spirit bringing the love and kindness of God, you can't argue with that. And so my mandate in life now is to get out there and bring the love and kindness of God to people. So, Harpen and Money Advice. We set it up for the first 6 months, and we had people from different churches. We, you know, through the various contacts, we had people from different churches coming on board. And so it wasn't just Batford Community Church, a number of churches involved. For the first 6 months, we didn't have a single client. How discouraging is that? You think, oh, is this really of God? But we persevered, and as you see now, we've actually had 8 full years of running it. We've had over, it's about 296 now since the turn of the year, so 10 so far this year. For 286, dealt with debts, nearly £3.5 million. We're talking about Harpenden, mainly Harpenden, a few clients from around other places. Over 1,700 appointments with people. So 1,700 opportunities of just bringing the love of God to people. To let them know they're loved, they're cared for. What's it cost us in the 8 years? £31,000. You can do the maths. It doesn't actually cost an awful lot to impact someone's life. To bring them to a place of being in control of the finances. Since we started, we had 12 different advisors. Thankfully, a lot of them are still advising, but that's some have moved on. Had one administrator. 2 years ago, we just realizing that actually we needed an administrator, so we got a paid administrator 1 day a week just to deal with it because we've grown so much. And currently 7 churches are involved, whether either it's advisors giving advice or whether it's financial support. That's what's happened through us during these 8 years. If you go on to the next slide. So just to give you a snapshot of last year, had 36 new cases. Debts of that amount, 302 appointments, and we have about 78 current life cases on the go that we're dealing with. It's just such a privilege to be able to help people in a place of real need, of desperation. People come in just feeling so stressed, fearful, just full of shame because they just can't cope with their finances and they just don't know where to turn. And so to be able to come alongside them and say, it's all right, it's not the end of the world, we're going to help you move forward from this, no matter how you've incurred that debt. Now, most of the clients we get, it's not because they've been irresponsible. It's because life has thrown some real horrible things at them. And it hasn't been their fault. We get a few that, yes, made some very bad decisions. But regardless of how they've got to that place, if they want to move forward, we're going to help them. And we're going to be with them right until they are debt-free. That's our commitment to them. So it's not just a bit of advice and now you get go off and do it. We'll be with and stand with them. So it is just a fantastic opportunity to support them, help them, move them forward. And as I said, just give them that touch of God's love and God's kindness, which is the thing that more and more excites me. And at the end of our sessions, we offer to pray with people. And we, most of the time, nearly all the time, people say, yes, please pray. And so it's just fantastic to be able to have the opportunity. We pray. Some people have never been prayed for, never prayed in their life before. And mustn't do that. And so, you know, there's an impact so often. You know, the tears start rolling down the face. Oh, I felt something. They go away feeling, oh, wow, I just feel freer now, you know. The weight's been lifted off me. And such just incredible privilege to be able to do that. One of the things that we're developing, almost developed, Trevor and another advisor was doing, is putting a budgeting program together. So we're hoping in the next few months to be able to offer a budgeting program that you can use, and we want to offer it to all the churches in town that they can use either just for internal stuff or actually as an outreach into the community, because it's such a need. So we're looking at on the education side as well. We don't want just to be mopping up the messes, but if possible, you know, for us to actually prevent some of that happening in the first place. So it's just a privilege to be involved in that. And the last slide basically says thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being with us on the journey. Thank you for Trevor for being involved with it as well. Because lives are being changed. Lives are being changed. It probably sounds dramatic, but we've had a number of clients say, you don't know how close we were to committing suicide. Because of the financial situation. And some of those that said that were Christians as well. Okay, so we're not protected from that. Because debt, it changes the way you think. It just blurs everything. It just numbs you. And you just can't get perspective. So I love doing it. If anyone else wants to know more about it and the possibility of getting involved, one of my lady advisors is moving on. So if you're a lady especially and you think, oh, I'd love to be involved in that, and you get the training that you need, that's not really the difficult part. It's if you love people, you're a good listener. And helps if you're methodical. But we got the software that does all the number crunching and stuff like that. But it's just wanting to see God's love and kindness be expressed to people. That's what we're about. So please have a chat with me afterwards if that's something that you might think you'd like to be involved in. Any questions? Because we've got time, haven't we? We've got relaxed. It feels relaxed this morning, doesn't it? Yes.
How do you do it?
How do we do it?
Yes.
Okay. Generally, just to run through what would happen is that the client comes in, and 90% of our clients that we get are referred by other agencies. So either the Harpenden Trust, the Children's Centre, social services, midwives, health visitors, the council, both housing and council tax, probably more of the housing. They love to refer people to us, housing associations, they refer people to us. So the vast majority come to us by referrals, because it's such a huge step to go to somewhere that you've never been before. You don't know what the people are like. How am I going to be treated? So that happens. So they come in. We'll look through their finances, their expenses, to put a budget together to see how much they do have surplus at the end of the month or not. We'll look through, see what their debts are. And after we've got all that information together, we would then think with the client, work through what's going to be the best way to deal with those debts. Whether actually they're going to pay a small amount every month towards them, or whether actually they just need to be written off in one form or another. So 3 days training to get you to that place. You do an awful lot of learning on the job. I won't deny that. But there's enough to get you going, you know.
It's a gentle introduction. You don't get thrown into the deep end.
Yes, yeah. No, we generally for a client have a session of getting all the information together, then a second session whereby you go through with them the results of, you know, what we've found out. And then it could be another one after that or two to talk through exactly what we're going to be doing. If we're going to get the debts written off, then yes, it might be a limited amount of interaction we have with them, maybe 4 sessions, and then we don't need to see them after that because it's dealt with. But others, one, what we call a debt management plan, is when you work out how much they can afford to pay every month, then that's what they'll pay. The longest one we've worked out for a client is 471 years they're going to be paying. So they're going to be around for some time. So then, if they're on a debt management plan, we'd review that every 6 months or every year. And if there are changes in some of the circumstances, we'd revise it then. So there's ongoing relationship. And we have some clients who we've dealt with their debts, but they just really just need, they like that encouragement to come to see us to make sure everything's still going all right and whatever, because we build up relationship with them. And they see us as someone that they trust. And we end up getting involved in all sorts of things. Took one client's dog to be castrated or whatever, you know, because where do they go to for help? Half the money advice, because they know us, they trust us. So that's...
I was just going to say, if you do help, you're usually working with another more experienced...
Yes,
advisor,
yeah.
Advisor,
yeah. Right. Let's... Oh, another question.
You
don't want me to preach, do you? I don't want to. Sorry, yes.
I see you on Facebook posting Harvard Money Advice, but you seem to do a lot of other stuff as well.
I do, yes.
You go around the country and you're training people and stuff. Can you just give us a quick summary of some of that stuff?
Yes, that's in my role with Community Money Advice, who's the organisation we run Harvard Money Advice under. So for 3 days a week, I run Harpenden Money Advice Centre, and then 2 days I work for Community Money Advice, which is a Christian organisation that helps churches set up debt advice centres. And so I'm Operation Support Manager is my title for... So I support now, I think it's about 28 centres, 30 centres across the country. And so I go and give them support if they need encouragement, best practice, make sure they're compliant with the Financial Conduct Authority regulations, stuff like that. I'll help them with that. And then I also am a trainer as well, so I will train up new debt advisors. So the training I mentioned, the 3 days, I'm involved with that training. Good. I'm excited to be here this morning because God has been doing a work in my life, and I've got a heart, I suppose for a lot of people, but one segment is people have been Christians for many years. I've been a Christian for 47 years now. I know it doesn't look possible, but I have, trust me, 47 years. And always had a heart for God, and wanting to carry out his purposes and plans and live according as he's wanted me to. The last 18 months has been the best and most exciting time of my walk with God. And that's why I want to encourage you, no matter how long you've been a Christian, there's always more. You haven't arrived. It's very easy to, you know, go year on, you think, okay, well, it's much... There's muchness, you know, no change. I describe it as though I've woken up from a dream and the things that were in the dream that I were doing and saw, they're actually real. I don't know if you've ever had a dream that seemed so real that when you woke up, you were really disappointed that it wasn't real. Have you ever been in that situation? I know as a young kid, I must have had it a number of times because I can remember it. I could fly. It was brilliant. I would just run along and, you know, off we went and I was just flying. Now, don't analyse me. Traumatic stuff I'm trying to get away from. Yeah, I know. But I had this dream and it seemed so real that when I woke up, I really thought I could do it. Now, I didn't go to the bedroom window and, you know, launched off. But I was so disappointed because it seemed so real. And for myself as a Christian, it feels as though I've woken up. And all the stuff I've read in the Bible, all the things I've believed about God, they are real. You're just experiencing a new level of reality of them. And that's just caused such a just a new passion in my life for God and for seeing his purposes come about. I've started to do crazy things. Pray with people on trains. In the gym. Can I pray with you? I see you hobbling. Driving along, seeing someone on crutches and think, I need to stop and get out and pray for them. And doing that sort of crazy stuff. Not because I have to, but because God has been birthing something within me to say, he wants to bring his kingdom in. He wants to bring his kingdom in on earth in whatever we're doing. So I don't care whether you're a full-time Christian worker or not. Whichever situation you're in, God is wanting to use you to bring about his plans and purposes. What triggered this thing 18 months ago? Well, in our church at Bethany, we did a Firestarters course, which you might have heard. It's a Bethel course about how to live in the supernatural. And some of the things that really grabbed me, if you like, was just seeing afresh who God is. I mean, it's not new stuff. You know, it's not new stuff. Oh, I'm getting excited and emotional, and I get told off by my wife. The nose drips. Sorry, that's... don't know what it is. Just seeing who God is afresh and coming to that revelation that God loves me, full stop. That God is passionate about me. I'm the beloved. You are the beloved. God is passionate about you. God is passionate about you. And just getting a fresh revelation of this, it was a case of, oh, wow, God, you are so amazing. You are so amazing. And then with that came along, well, if you're amazing as you are, and then starting to look at, well, what he says about who I am. So that word about identity was just so spot on, about who I am in him. And because of who I am in him, then it's realizing, well, actually, I can carry out his purposes, bring in his kingdom. Because he has, so understanding these things. So I just want to go into some of those things in a little bit more detail. And then end talking about the kingdom of God. I just came to a fresh revelation that God is love. I mean, it's a simple thing, isn't it? We all know that. We all say it. But God is love, so he can't be anything but love. And he can't be anything but loving to you. Amen. And also to everyone out there. Amen. Okay? There's no distinction. He can't stop himself but loving everyone. Because that is his nature. That's who he is. And so to have that just fresh revelation of his incredible love to me and to others, And the fact that, you know, he gave the most precious thing that he had, Jesus, to win me over. That's how much he loves each one of us. He gave Jesus the most precious thing. He's given everything so that we could be restored to him. Now, as God starts to work that, started to work that in my life again, there was just a case of, well, I want to know you more, God. It's not a case of, oh, it's another year of being a Christian. Wonder what's going to happen this year. Wow, God, you've got so much more. And yeah, let me just read this. God is madly and passionately in love with you and me. Is that your reality at the moment? Because God wants to bring that to you. He's madly and passionately in love with you. For some of us, that's difficult to comprehend, to grasp. But he is madly and passionate in love with you. 100% committed to you. It was something that I intellectually knew and had been on a journey experiencing some of it. But it's as though, if I'm honest, emotionally, so with my head I knew that, but emotionally I felt as though God was indifferent, passive and distant. So often there's a disconnect between up here and here. Well, here. And so on this journey of discovery, I've been finding out that he's passionate and he's active. So often we can think he's up there and I'm down here. And yeah, there's a big disconnect. But God is active in your life. He's always thinking of ways to bless you. He's always thinking of ways to reveal his love to you. He's always looking just to work in your life, to bring you on to the next stage. What he's got for you. Is it Jeremiah says he's got plans, he knows the plans that he has for us. He has plans for us. We're not distant from him at all. He's an active, passionate God and very present. So, as I started to see that, and I started to look at what he was saying, the way he saw me. Because if you see God, start to understand God in that way, it has to impact how you see yourself. Has to impact the way we see ourselves. So, can I see myself as sort of wormish, unworthy, useless, someone that God's disinterested in, disappointed and distant from me, when he's given everything, the most precious thing he had, he gave. I can't stay in that place of thinking, well, I'm useless, I'm unworthy, God is disappointed with me, because it's not about what I do anymore. It's about my identity in him. And as you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we're a new creation. We are a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, you know, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. We're the righteousness of God now. How can he be disappointed with us? And yet, I've struggled with that so much in my life, feeling God was disappointed with me. As though it's because something I've done or I haven't done. But it's nothing to do with that anymore. He set us free from the law of sin. And we're under the law of grace now. And that's the amazing thing of our God. That he sees us as he sees Jesus now. So if you think about it, The Father looks at Jesus. What are some of the things, and a bit of response, interaction. What would the Father say when he looks at Jesus? Or what would he think? Beloved Son. I love you, Jesus, yeah?
Well pleased with you.
Well pleased with you. Delighted with you, yeah? What else?
Proud of you.
The Father says exactly the same things to you. Because he sees you as he sees Jesus now. And as that starts to resonate within us, something does bubble up. Something does change. Something does break loose. And the fact is that, yeah, he's put me in Christ, and Christ is in me now. And so I'm in that completely different position. Because I think one of the things I struggled with for many years as a Christian was reading the verse, you know, I'm a new creation and stuff like that. And you think, not really. Not really. Feel exactly the same. Nothing's changed. And as I've been working through this, I've realised that actually I've been listening to the lies of the enemy. That's him saying, Richard, you haven't changed. You're exactly the same as who you are. No, I'm a new creation. I am now holy and righteous. I've been put in Christ. His Holy Spirit is within me. I've been born again by God, which means I'm a completely different person. And for some, if you've had a radical conversion, then you know there's been a change. But I became a Christian when I was 9. And so it's a case of there wasn't this radical change. But there was a radical change that happened. And I'm just catching up with that now. So I am a completely new creation. I'm holy and righteous. And the living God is indwelling me. Which means that when I do pray for someone, they're going to experience God. Because he's living within me. Whereas before it's a case of, if I pray for someone, why little old me? You know, what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. No, the living God is within me. And so it's renewing our thinking of, I am different. Something has changed within me. So it's given me a new focus and a new purpose, because it's realizing that actually God is wanting to use me to change the atmosphere around. You might have heard the analogy before that, you know, either we're thermostats or we're thermometers. We either just gauge the temperature in a situation and note it, record it, or we're thermostats. We can change the environment. And that's what God's called us to be. God has called us to change the environments that we're in. Now, for myself as a kid, I wanted to keep a low profile. I didn't want to rock the boat in situations. I just wanted easy passage through life for various reasons. And again, yes, don't analyse. But come to that place thinking, I can't do that anymore. I can't stay under the radar. God's purpose for me is to bring change, which means I need to stop the car and go and pray for someone that I've seen. I need to pluck up courage in the train to say, you know, oh, I notice you know, this is happening with you. Can I pray for you? We're here to bring into God's kingdom. That's the purpose while we're here. And again, that's a new thing for me. It's almost a case in the past. It was, well, we'll just do our bit. We'll be nice Christians. We'll, you know, tinker with things and, you know, make life a little bit better for people. But actually just a new sense of God wants to bring his kingdom here on earth. For me, it was a case of, well, let's just wait, you know, hang in there and then we'll go to heaven. And that's when the party will start. But I'm starting to have an understanding that God wants to bring his kingdom here on earth. Which then means, okay, well, what's my responsibility in that? has God given me the ability to do that? And so, yeah, there's just been this renewed sense of God wants to bring his kingdom in. And he invites each one of us to be a part of that. It's scary. It's exciting. It's fulfilling, rewarding. But it's about bringing in his kingdom. You know, Matthew 6, in the Lord's Prayer, something that often we'll pray in churches or, you know, wherever. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We so easily pray that. But that's the reality. God wants to bring his kingdom in to upon earth. God's wanting to bring his kingdom on earth. In John 3 verse 8 it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. You know, we can't stay under the radar. God's appointed us and empowered us to destroy the devil's work. He wants us on the front lines. It's a case of, that's what our purpose is. Otherwise, if you think about it, well, as soon as we become Christians, why doesn't he just take us off? Hey, up to heaven. You know, you're in now, so great. But God's got a plan and a purpose for us to bring in his kingdom here on earth. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And as we'll see with the scriptures later on, we're included in that. To finish his work. No, Jesus just started it. And he wants us to come and just bring that. Let me just read a few more passages from Luke 6, which is taking the Isaiah 61 passage. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. That's what his mandate was. And guess what? Our mandate is exactly the same. It's not just to be nice Christians. It's to come against the devil's work. Bring in the kingdom of God. And, you know, and Jesus lived it. Matthew 4, he said, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness amongst the people. And then when we look at him sending out the 12 and the 70, he says, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. And in John 20, just after his resurrection, he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Jesus is saying, this is what it's about for us. We have an awesome privilege of bringing in his kingdom, of seeing his love and his kindness being expressed on the earth. I just get so touched when I pray for someone, touched and amazed. I pray for someone and they get healed of something. And you just think, God, it's because you love this person. You love them, you care, and you want to express it to them. And it's basically just because I'm stepping out and doing it now. I know if I didn't step out, I know no one would get healed. Not 100% of people I pray for get healed. But I know if I didn't, the ones that have got healed wouldn't have got healed. So it's a case of stepping out. And the commission to us was, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation, and these signs will accompany those who believe. They'll drive out demons, they'll place hands on the sick people, and they will get well. But it's an active thing. It's an active thing that we need to take hold of. Because you can think, oh, well, I'll just see what happens. Unfortunately, very little will happen. I can more or less guarantee that. A verse that I used to hate when people quoted it, because I was more of, well, let's just love people, you know, in a nice, soft way. Where he says, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. Ooh. I thought Christianity was peaceful or whatever. Yeah, but forceful against the powers of darkness. Forcefully bringing in his kingdom. And that takes choice. That takes decision. I'm going to do that. We were singing a song earlier. Can't remember exact words, but basically, my life is, you know, I'm going to live it for you, God. Well, that's what it's about. Seeing his kingdom come. Forcefully saying, God, I don't feel able, don't feel in that place. And God said, great, because it's nothing about you. You just step out, because I have made you a new creation. I have put my spirit within you. And so to step out. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it talks about us being ambassadors. An ambassador is someone who has the authority of the kingdom that they've come from. And I want to encourage you this morning. You have the authority of the kingdom of God within you and upon you. You have that authority. And it's a case of just starting to step out in that authority. Some of it may be just starting to believe it. You know, sort of waking up from this dream and thinking, I know it's real, but is it really real? You know, and walking that out. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. As I said, sometimes I do bottle it at times. I won't deny it. See someone and think, oh no, I can't. Too many people watching, too many people, whatever. But I'm saying, God, I want to see your kingdom come. I'm wanting people to experience the love and kindness of God. And the reality is, as I said, that you have the authority of the King upon you. And yes, why am I wearing this VIP? As I was praying this morning, thinking, is there anything that you wanted to do among us, any practical outworking of it? And I just saw myself as a picture walking into the hall with a sticker on with VIP on. And you think, well, that's a bit pretentious, isn't it? You know. But it was a case of, how does God see me in the view of his kingdom? In the kingdom of God's purposes, how does God view me? I am a very important person in the kingdom of God. So are you. But I want us just to spend just a few minutes just asking God, how does God see you in the relation of what he wants to do, or maybe just of who you are. Now, some of it might be prophetic. Because maybe you'll, you know, God will, the first thing that will come to your mind is mighty or brave. And you think, that's the furthest thing from the truth at the moment. But if God speaks that to you, it's because that's who God sees you as. And God wants you to come into that. And so what I've got some labels up the front and some pens. And we're going to just have a little time of asking God to show you how he sees you. Okay? And I want you to write on that label and put it on and wear it whilst we have coffee. Okay? Because it's a proclamation, a declaration. This is who I am in the kingdom of God. This is how my Father sees me. You might feel a bit uncomfortable. You might feel uncomfortable wearing that because you think others are going to laugh. You know, if you're the most timid person and you're brave or courageous, they're going to laugh. No, they're not. They're going to rejoice as you start to walk into the fullness of your identity in him, into the plans and purposes that he's got for you. So do you understand what I'm suggesting? So, Father, I thank you that you are such an amazing God. And I thank you that you have transformed each one of us who have given our lives to you. that you have made us new creations. You've made us more than conquerors. That we are your ambassadors. We're your sons and your daughters. We're heirs, co-heirs. So, Father, we thank you for all that you've done. And, Father, we want to be a part of seeing your kingdom come here on earth. We want to see lives transformed. Yeah. Lord God, we want to see situations turned around. We want to see your loving kindness being expressed in people's lives. Father, we want to start to walk in the fullness of what you've got for each one of us. And so, Father, would you speak to us now? Would you speak to each one of us and say, just share with us how you see us? What area of identity you want us to walk into, to lay hold of? Father, would you speak to us now by your Spirit? Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come, bring life. Bring life.